trying to walk around.
A little bit, but he I think he can't.
House Committee on Judiciary, well. Come to order. Today is Monday, March 13th, 2017. And first item on the agenda is a public hearing, possible work session on House Bill 2248. Whitney?
Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee. House Bill 2248 was brought to us by the Department of Corrections. You may recall that we first heard this bill on February 20th, but needed to work on an amendment. House Bill 2248 removes a sunset on a law allowing the Oregon Youth Authority and county juvenile departments to provide confidential materials regarding a youth to DOC for purposes of enabling DOC to perform its official duties related to custody and supervision. The Dash 1 amendment extends the sunset to January 1st, 2020, instead of removing it. There is no fiscal impact and there is no revenue impact.
Okay, thank you. Heidi Stewart and Christine Kirk.
No.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Heidi Stewart with the Department of Corrections, and I'm here to testify in favor of House Bill 2248 with the Dash 1 amendments. As you remember, I was before you, I think, about a week ago, explaining that we were going to request the amendments after a conversation with our stakeholders. By extending the sunset, that gives our stakeholders ample opportunity to ensure that the Department of Corrections is... That they have the amount of time to monitor the Department of Corrections' access to those systems. So we're here to testify in support of the bill and encourage you to do so. Thank you.
Hello, Representative Barker, members of the committee. My name is Christine Kirk, and I am the public policy manager with the Oregon Youth Authority. I'm here in support of the Dash 1 amendments for this bill. As noted, it extends the sunset to allow all of the partners more time. It has only been in effect for about a year, and so this allows more time. We audit and monitor. The Department of Corrections has been incredibly responsive. All of the issues have just been around training and a learning curve for the new system. The effect of the sunset will also allow the Oregon Youth Authority to go into rulemaking to note those auditing requirements within rule. And upon that being done and more time to just monitor and everyone to get used to this, our assumption is that the sunset would be able to be removed and this could just go into effect to perpetuity. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
And we have the Dash 1s before us. What do you want to just explain that all that?
The Dash 1 amendment is what removes it. Instead of removing the sunset, extends the sunset to January 1st, 2020. So the current bill removes it. The Dash 1 amendment modifies it to simply extend it out for that supervision monitoring period that they were just discussing to January 1st, 2020.
Okay, thank you.
So, Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 2248.
Representative Olson moves the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 2248. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
And, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2248 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson moves House Bill 2248 to the floor as amended to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion of that? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Thank you. And then we're going to jump out of order on the carrier. Oh, I'm sorry. Who would like to carry that? Any volunteers?
I will.
Or Representative Vile.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. And we'll go down to House Bill 2579. Open hearing on that and call Representative Rayfield.
Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee. House Bill 2579 was brought to us by Representative Rayfield and Representative Olson. House Bill 2579 allows the Oregon Youth Authority to supervise persons who complete their entire Department of Corrections sentence in the physical custody of the Oregon Youth Authority. There is a Dash 1 amendment which replaces the current measure. In its place, it allows OYA to provide reentry support and services to those same youths that complete their DOC sentences of incarceration in the physical custody of the Oregon Youth Authority. There is no revenue impact, and we are still waiting on the fiscal impact.
Okay.
Yeah, Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Dan Rayfield, House District 16. This bill before you, the basis behind that in touring one of the Oregon Youth Authority facilities, what I found out at that time is people who are under the purview, children are under the purview of DOC, if they age out of an OIA facility, and I shouldn't say age out, if they complete their sentence while at an OIA facility, they then get parole and probation from the actual counties. If you are an OIA, under the purview of OIA, yet you age or you your sentence is served and completed under OIA and you exit out, you actually get OIA parole and probation services. What we found out, kind of looking at the data, that the long-term of outcomes for some of these youths were actually better with kind of the services that are being provided with OIA. They provide a little bit more comprehensive services to the children or the kids coming out of that. And so what we thought would be a pairing of that where we open the services of the OIA in partnership with county corrections to provide better services to the kids coming out of these facilities so that we can have better outcomes long term. And so that is the dash ones that you see. They kind of speak a little bit to that. We don't anticipate there to be any fiscal on the bill.
Thank you.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jeff Wood. I'm a division commander with the Marion County Sheriff's Office. I'm also the vice president of the Oregon Association of Community Corrections Directors. I am here in support of the Dash 1 amendments. As Representative Rayfield said, I'd guesstimate about a month and a half ago, we had a rather robust conversation about services for youthful offenders, how I will categorize them as, what services are available and what could be improved upon. Further into those discussions and collaboration with the Department of Corrections, the Oregon Youth Authority. While I would say that the adult county community correction system is, for example, in Marion County, we have a fairly robust reentry program. There are always improvements that can be made, and I think the Dash 1 amendments allow us to make those improvements, to allow us to work with the Youth Authority in collaboration of release and transitional planning. I will say, lesson learned locally in Marion County, about 10 years ago, we had a rather high no-show rate, abscond rate from a Department of Corrections institution, which is fairly ironic considering the institution is about 20 feet from our local office. Through something as simple as reach-in and transitional planning, we were able to reduce a 30% no-show rate to about 3%, and I think our latest cohort's around 2%. Similar to the Department of Corrections, we recognize that youthful offenders who are serving an adult sentence in a youth facility, without stating the obvious too much, are younger, they're more impulsive, they're less likely to control their emotions. Candidly, this is an anxiety-ridden time for them as they transition from custody to community, and we believe that the Dash 1 amendments will help to further alleviate that anxiety and increase the reformative process.
Okay, thank you. Representative Vial.
Chair Barker, I think Representative Rayfield, you said no fiscal on this, but it strikes me that we are going to see an increased workload for OIA versus the Department of Corrections. And is there no effect on either one of them in terms of their personnel needs?
So, Chair Barker, Representative Vial, in talking with the Oregon Youth Authority, they believe that they can absorb this into their budget. And really what they are doing is partnering together. And as you heard, there are already some good, robust services already being provided at the county level. One of the issues is while you're at OIA, you have an existing parole and probation officer at OIA, which continues for a period of time until you transition out. And so this individual has developed a relationship with that parole and probation, and so as you transition into a traditional parole and probation at the county level, this aids in some of the services that are being able to be provided. There's probably going to be several cases where that is not needed, and so this is going to be, you'll see in the Dash 1s, it requires communication and really trying to cater what services, kind of as two entities come together and partner, what services are needed to provide the best result. And then the other thing I should also say is the good Representative Olson also played a heavy hand in this bill, and I forgot to give him a lot of credit. In the meetings, I played the bad cop while Representative Olson really wanted to play the good cop, even though that's generally not his forte.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you.
Follow up.
Thank you, Representative Rayfield. His hand is heavy. I've felt it from time to time already. I'm just going to push back one more time on that. About how many of these cases do we have in any given biennium, let's say?
Representative Barker, Chair Barker, Representative Vile, the estimates, if I remember correctly, per year were less than 90.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, Mr. Chair, I just want to chip in on this, too. I mean, I think really the key on this whole thing for the amendment, the dash ones, focuses on the subsection 2 of section 1. And it's, honestly, the whole idea behind that is, I think, what Representative Rayfield and I were wanting to do with it, and everybody in the group, just like what Jeff had mentioned, we had a very robust meeting, our first one. The second one was, you know, a lot more focused on where we wanted to go. It was a great deal. But we needed to create a path for OIA to be able to go out and help the counties if they didn't have the resources available to them. That's really what this is all about. And I talk about building bridges, and that's the two agencies they're on.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you, panel. Next to call Michelle Egan, James Egan, and Christine Kirk. Go. Judge Egan, okay, and in any order, okay, thank you.
Chairman Barker, I am here in support of HB 2579. I am Michelle Egan, and I am here with my husband, Judge Jim Egan, from the Oregon Court of Appeals. I'm here today to speak to you as the parent of a young man who entered McLaren at age 16, who was convicted as an adult and then released from McLaren on his 18th birthday. At the time of my son Jordan's release, the programs and funding proposed were not available to adults released from DOC custody and an OYA facility. We thought that we were prepared. Nevertheless, Jordan's release caused disruption because of housing difficulties associated with the location of our home and our minor daughters, a problem that these programs address. Because he was an adult, we were not privy to his personality diagnosis, and although we were insured, we were not part of the treatment team that could give him coordinated care upon his release, a problem that these programs address. And finally, Jordan's adult parole officer acted timely and effectively to secure counseling, but the harsh reality is that it would have taken critical months to secure that counseling in the adult parole system, another problem that these programs address. Up until Jordan was released, he benefited from all of the OYA programs available to children in custody. The moment he was released, he lost the benefit of that care. I urge you to support the programs and funding proposed in HB 2579. They are critical for young men and women who have been treated in OYA facilities and who need the follow-on programs that the bill provides. These are programs already available to children adjudicated as youths, and it seems fair and equitable for those programs to continue for youths convicted as adults. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Barker, Judge. Members of the committee, council, thank you for affording us an opportunity to speak today on behalf of House Bill 2579. I'm reminded by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and the Oregon Court of Appeals.
Judge, I need you to identify yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Judge James Egan from the Court of Appeals.
Thank you, Judge.
And I'm reminded by the Chief over there that I'm not speaking on behalf of the judiciary today, so you should probably know that. Rather, I'm speaking as a parent of a child released directly from an OYA facility after a conviction as an adult. I'm speaking as a judge who spent weekends and Wednesdays visiting that child and watching the progress while, at the same time, sentencing young men and young women as adults to these facilities, knowing full well that they would be released from OYA and the treatment programs available through OYA into an adult parole system that could not provide necessary follow-on programs specifically catered to the youth because these programs could not be provided to adult parolees. As Michelle outlined in her testimony, it seemed unfair to me, as a judge, to treat one child differently than another based solely on the happenstance of age, offense, or status. But it was my obligation to do so in order to follow the rule of law. Of course, legislation should not be about how comfortable or uncomfortable it makes a judge feel. broad legislation should be about what is good for the community. With that in mind, let me say that I have observed the onerous effects of criminal labeling, secondary deviant behavior, and movement of children into criminal subcultures due to the segregation of 18, 19, and 20-year-olds with much more experienced criminal hands that are around them as adults. These are the battles that adult and juvenile parole officers fight every day, providing funds and programs that simply place two or three more arrows into the quivers of parole and probation officers, juvenile and adult, will give a sense of fairness in the proceedings and fairness in the process for children convicted as adults. I ask for your support of 2579, and we'd be more than happy to answer any of your questions, both personal and professional.
Hey, thank you. Anybody have any questions? Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee. My name is Christine Kirk, and I am the public policy manager with the Oregon Youth Authority. I, of course, am testifying in support of the Dash 1 amendments, and I hope that you agree with me that this is a good decision for the policy direction to address a gap in services and connection between juvenile and adult agencies for youth up to the age, or young people up to the age of 25. This Dash 1 came after a few conversations between multiple partners, and I would like to extend appreciation to Representative Rayfield, Representative Olson, the Department of Corrections, the Oregon Juvenile Directors Association, as well as the Directors Association for Community Corrections, who all came to the table to talk about what is it that we really need to do as it relates to this population. As Representative Rayfield noted, there is a gap for this population in terms of thinking about them coming from a juvenile facility and a juvenile focus in those relationships to the adult world. What this bill, what the Dash 1 effectively does is it allows for the Oregon Youth Authority and the adult supervising agencies to have a softer handoff between juvenile and adult. It allows the juvenile authority to be a resource should the adult supervisors see that it is needed or of benefit to the youth in their case planning. It does not confuse jurisdictional lines, which was one of the things that we were concerned about, but it allows for us to maintain engagement should that be appropriate. A couple simple examples of how this is of benefit. At times, we offer a bus ticket to someone to get to their PO. Technically, we believe that is not allowed within the existing law. We have had cases where we wanted to provide housing for a month, and that was not allowed. And in fact, someone got in trouble for providing housing for a month because our line ends at the date at which they're released from our facility. It also creates confusion just in maintaining a relationship or contact. Are we allowed or not allowed to have professional contact with the youth who was once in our care after they're no longer in our jurisdiction? Of course, we have many policies to guide how we relate to youth that we're not directly caring for. However, this was a hard line. And when youth spend so much time with us in a facility, and we do have them on our caseload for our field staff, it is difficult both for the staff and the youth at times to sever so abruptly that connection. This allows for us to develop policies and procedures simply around contact and connection. And we see that as a tremendous win so that we don't have this unrealistic hard line. The other times when we may be providing assistance currently do happen, and where a release plan as approved by the Department of Corrections falls apart, and all of a sudden we have a youth that is being released from our facility and the housing that they had lined up is not going to work. And so in those cases, we currently get on the phone and contact the supervising authority and say, hey, something else needs to happen. What we thought was happening isn't working. But now we would be able to say, we have a housing resource for this youth. Do you need it? Or they of course have many resources they can provide, but we may be able to offer some assistance. We would feel comfortable helping them get to their first appointment with their supervisor. And so I think that there's many very simple things that can occur, even though there is no funding associated with this. We do not have any hesitation about there being no funding because the large benefit of this is purely in relationships and communication and engagement. When we go into rulemaking, we will identify the way in which we will document the requests, the costs, if we have to deny something based on a budget, so that we would be able to go back in future sessions and say, this is the service demand. I would like to note, however, that the funding mechanism for additional services for youth and young adults up to 25 is actually the next bill that you will hear. And that bill would allow for the Department of Corrections to fund targeted services to community corrections agencies for this population. So we would become essentially a service provider, and we could be, through contract, reimbursed for the services that we provide. As a supervising entity, we definitely recognize that you don't want someone or another agency getting involved in your case plan without your knowledge. So I have submitted to you today the notes that we have come up for the draft rule, which we can't go into rulemaking until this becomes law. So you can see that essentially at every step of the way, there would be some communication between the Oregon Youth Authority and the supervising authority. So in no way are we creating confusion within the case plan, but we are an added benefit when it makes sense for that particular youth in their particular circumstances. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much.
We don't have the fiscal amendments.
Okay, we don't have the fiscal on the dash run amendments yet, so we'll have to hold off on that and close the public hearing on House Bill 2579 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2249.
Thank you, Chair Barker. Members of the committee, House Bill 2249 was brought to us at the request of the Department of Corrections. House Bill 2249 enables the Department of Corrections to enter into agreements with counties to provide supplemental funding for reentry support and services for offenders released before turning the age of 25. There is no fiscal or revenue impact, and there are no amendments.
Okay, thank you. Heidi Stewart, Christine Kirk. Once again.
Mm-hmm. Chair Barker, members of the committee, I'm Heidi Stewart with the Department of Corrections, and I'm here to testify in favor of House Bill 2249. 2249 dovetails very nicely with House Bill 2579, which you just heard. What this bill does is it allows the Department of Corrections to provide supplemental funds for those releasing from the physical custody of OYA but are under the legal custody of the Department of Corrections. There is, we currently have the authority to be able to spend supplemental funds on those releasing from the Oregon Youth Authority under the custody of the Department of Corrections if they're under the age of 19. However, if they're between the age of 19 and 25, or they're releasing to a second look release or some sort of conditional release, we don't have that statutory authority. So that's what this bill does. It gives us that authority to be able to use those funds and provide the important resources to those youth who are leaving the custody of OYA. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Christine Kirk, and I'm a public policy manager for the Oregon Youth Authority. The Oregon Youth Authority is in support of House Bill 2249. We appreciate the Department of Corrections bringing this forward and noting that there were some gaps that needed to be fixed to allow these resources to go for youth and young adults between 19 and 25, as well as for all of the release reasons that a youth or young adult may be released from the Oregon Youth Authority. As noted previously, this bill dovetails nicely with House Bill 2579. Effectively, what you have between the two bills is a new platform to be able to talk about the services and partnership around young persons being released from the Oregon Youth Authority, because we would be able to have a better proactive dialogue about services available, the people who are able to be in these young offenders' lives to support, and a funding mechanism to increase services for 18 to 25-year-olds or up to 25-year-olds should there be a need for increased resources into the future. Thank you for your consideration.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing, open a work session on House Bill 2249.
Mr. Chair, no amendments, right?
No.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2249 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 2249 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any questions? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. And Representative Gorsuch, would you carry that for us?
I will.
Thank you. Okay. Any further business to come before the committee? Thank you, committee, for your attendance. Adjourned. For your attendance. Adjourned. Thank you, committee.